Welcome to the Startup Addict Podcast. I'm Nick Swinburne. I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures. Regardless of the outcome, I'm still convinced there's nothing more addicting than trying to turn ideas into reality.
This thing, I could literally undo all the way to zero.
You know, I just realized I had two of Luke's cookies today, so I've had fucking three of these things now. God damn it.
That's why I left them here, so they didn't go to the house.
So this episode isn't about money or ego.
No.
It's just the highlight.
You want to set this one out? Yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, I forgot about
that. No, it's cool.
We still have that.
Hey, Julio, that was a great idea. I think it went to all our junk mail for some reason.
So we came in, Julio made an outline for us, and regardless of the outcome, we didn't do his idea.
No. We've got, now we've got an idea. In the hopper.
In the hopper, yeah.
There's nothing more addicting than these cookies, yo.
Yeah.
Holy Honolulu.
Welcome
cookie.
To episode 23. And today...
Of what? Episode 23 of just life, or what is it?
Of life. All right. Well, because I was actually thinking about this. It's like, we already say, welcome to the Startup Attic. You say it. So why am I saying it again? Welcome to the Startup Attic.
Maybe people skip the music at the beginning.
Yeah, I guess you could just say welcome. You're right.
Why would they skip the music?
We don't want you to be redundant.
Yeah. That'd be dumb.
You know what happened today? Was today we were going to talk about, like, Julio, actually, we talked last week about getting more organized.
Yep.
Having topics and different structure to the show. Julio said he would spend, I think, between 6 and 8% of his time.
Yeah, I think it was
between
six.
Then thinking about this. No. I think he started 8, then he got it down to 6.
Oh, yeah, we did negotiate during the week to get that lower.
Lock that lower number in.
He sent us a whole bunch of notes with a good 3 hours for us to let those sink in and discuss them. But then we totally forgot about them.
Which is actually a good thing.
We had a guest. Damien.
That means
the
guest was very engaging.
Yeah, yes. Damien is the assistant manager at Basecamp, which is the gym in Burlingame. And he, in a Q&A last time, he had asked some questions about opening a restaurant, so we invited him in to see what his plan was.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting episode.
I think it is.
This is the Startup Addict, in case anyone's not, you know.
In case you didn't hear the intro or the baseline.
Because Dennis skipped it.
Oh, that's what this podcast is named.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right.
So anyways, without further ado.
Let's start the show. All right, today we have a special guest, Damien Stansbury. Talk about his food idea. We're going to highlight, I guess, small businesses or potential businesses on the Startup app.
You just call his potential business small.
I'm assuming he's not going to be a Fortune 500.
Today we've got Damien. We're going to talk about small business.
Small business.
God.
I'm a little more realistic.
You know where that came from?
What?
Is because we were just talking about this. There's three people in here that have done the keto, and there's one person who did it properly, and that's Damien.
Yeah.
Now, Julio claims
I've been banished to this side for my failures, I guess.
Yeah, Julio got kicked off the table. Julio is in the other side of the room in the dark right now with a silver mic.
Yeah.
Julio's done the keto, but mixing in the occasional quesadilla, beers, and
I was good for
else we haven't seen.
Well, you have to eat more fat to cancel out the carb, right?
Yeah.
That's how it works. So if you eat a
flour tortilla, you eat double the fat.
I think you were on it for like a couple months.
Yeah. No, Julio did good for a while.
Yeah.
And then Dennis was more like a week-long spurt, and then I've been on it for 3 weeks now.
That's usually how it goes. It's like a 1 week, 2 week deal, and then people quit.
How long did you do
it? It took me 2 weeks to finally realize I wasn't going to quit. and then I'm 8 months strong now, and
you've been doing it the whole time.
Yeah, I've cheated 2 times.
Don't you get cheat days?
Well, you can if you really want, but they say not to.
What were the cheat days? Both times
were Nacho Rio Nachos, to be honest. I wanted like a chip, and it was right there, and I'm like, oh, that, like, I haven't had a chip in so long. And the first time I had it, I was like, man, that's the one thing I miss. So I just had it again. What? But I do want Chinese food.
Yeah. But you can't have Chinese food?
No, absolutely not.
What if it was just like vegetables and meat?
Usually the sauces have a lot of like sugar.
They're cooking like teriyaki or soy or something like that.
You have to like really watch on everything. So I cook everything I eat for the most part.
Yeah.
Unless I'm really going.
Did you cook before keto?
Actually. That's where kind of like the whole like restaurant idea kind of came from. I started cooking actually when I was like 18.
Oh,
so it was actually like new to me. But my mom just said, hey, I'm I'm not cooking anymore, so like, good luck. So, so I kind of had to like force myself to eat.
So, nice. So what got you started in keto? Like, what was the got you?
Jesse Jones, to be honest.
Oh, right, the keto king?
The keto god.
The keto god. So it was his energy more than anything. So yeah. He didn't have a lot of weight to lose anyway for me to be like, oh man, that's like the weight loss program. It was more like his energy and just, he was always like a happy guy, but he just, something about him just stood out a little bit more. And yeah. I kept asking him like, what are you doing? And he kept mentioning keto, this new fat diet, and you should try it. And yeah. I was like, oh, okay. And then I just started reading upon it, and it took me 3 months or like 2 months to really read about like what I'm going to do to my body. Cause I've tried every diet and
yeah.
I failed almost every single one. This was the one that was kind of scary because it was like, oh, high fat, like I don't want to kill my heart or anything.
Yeah.
So I really studied it, and then I realized, hey, it actually has a lot of benefits to it, just like what Jesse's saying, I'll give it a go. They say stay like 2 weeks strong or 3 weeks strong and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
So I told myself, hey, just 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks later I was like, I'm not even thinking of a carb. And yeah. to be honest, now I'm not even like,
you don't miss it?
No. Like Chinese food is one thing where I'm like, oh man, I wish I could have that. I was a big Sour Patch Kids fan.
Yeah.
Don't even think about it anymore. Yeah. Bread, don't think about it. Or any, like sugar is, that's like the crazy part. It's like sugar to me, I actually feel sugar if I eat it, like yeah. in my cheeks and everything. So it's,
oh, wow.
I see the difference. And even my attitude and like my energy and everything is just a lot better. So.
How much weight did you lose?
86 pounds.
Holy
Over how long?
8 months.
8 months.
Yeah, and it's the fastest weight was the first month. I lost 23 pounds, and then I thought, I was like, oh, I'm going to stop because it was all like water weight.
Yeah.
And then I started losing fat a little bit slowly, and then I stopped losing weight, but then I started losing fat, and that's what I'm in right now. So I'm not really losing as much more weight. It's yeah. more just the fat is just like turning into muscle, or it's just going away.
Yeah.
So I notice it with my clothes. I put on my jeans or my shirt, and I'm like, whoa, like, this is crazy. Like this
I remember talking to you one day when you were doing pull-ups. I'm like, wait, that doesn't seem fair. That's like, oh, that's like wearing an 80-pound vest and then taking it off and being able to crank out pull-ups.
Oh, yeah. I know. That's like my fun. That's like the best thing to do is
yeah.
pull-ups, push-ups, just because it was like, oh, man, like there used to be like a kid on my back and now I'm just going crazy. And yeah. I really, really feel the difference on those two exercises,
yeah.
which is, it's cool. It's fun too. And I'm sure I'm going to continue to like on with whatever I'm doing. And like people say you should transition out of keto, but yeah. I don't think I'll ever go back to sugar, if that makes sense. Like yeah. I used to eat. So that's a good thing on my mind.
Sure. Well, Dennis and Hillier are going back on it tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's so funny? I was just thinking my wife, she was like, so after this podcast, how do you think you'll go back on keto after this podcast? I go, we'll see. I'm getting all hyped
after
up.
Today?
After today, yeah. She's like, you know.
Cause I haven't touched the cookies.
I want to. Those are from Hawaii, correct?
Yeah, those are...
Those are really good.
I actually hadn't even thought, and I walk, of, I hadn't and thought of them until you just said that. Now
and I walked past the donut shop on my way over here.
Nice.
Did you peek?
So no. Okay, like for half a second, but I don't even consider it really a full peek. That wasn't even a full peek.
When Julio started it in the office,
Oh crap.
We'd go get...
Oh, never mind. Sorry.
Dennis thought he wasn't recording.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit.
We'd go get breakfast, bring it in the office. And Stacks, you get like, you know, your eggs and... paint or hash browns and stuff, and there's always a bagel with butter on it, and he would just ask us to give him the bagel so he could sit there and smell it.
It's true. I do that too with the hash browns. Christie's, I'll get my omelet hash browns. I'm like, hey, you can have the hash browns, but let me just smell a little bit of it, and that's all I need. It'll kind of bring me back to my old days.
Nice.
That's good.
What were you gonna say when I interrupted you?
I have no idea. I don't remember.
So I saved you.
Yeah, probably. Save me for myself.
So what's this mysterious food concept?
It's always changed. I've always wanted to be my own boss, if that made sense. I always thought, I was always late, so I'd get fired if I don't become my own boss one day. I like the whole idea of just me kind of like running the idea of like whatever I wanted to do, because I've always had like just a crazy mindset, I believed. And I always bounced around different ideas until I got this one job at Sherry's. It was in San Bruno. I was a bus boy. And I was just bussing tables, and then one of the chefs kind of grabbed me because he was like, "Hey, you're kind of cool, and like you're fast, and you're learning. Let me teach you how to cook one time, like if you want to." And I was like, "Oh, sure, why not?" Had no cooking experience at all, but like I said, my mom kind of already gave me the boot on cooking, so yeah. I was like, "Oh, this will be a cool experience." So I started cooking, learned a lot of like techniques, learned it was actually really easy, and I actually learned it was actually fun for me to cook and yeah. just different spices or different things or just trying different things and like. I wasn't really a chef, so I actually made my own food. So he gave me the freedom of just like, hey, you can cook your own lunch today. Just cook. And then it
what kind of food was the restaurant?
It was like a diner. So it was like American, and a lot of breakfast was what they're popular for. But they did have like burgers or a little bit of pasta, stuff like that. So that was where that idea came from, where I have now, which was there was one guy who went every single day to this place, every single day. And there was one time I was like, man, like, I see you every single night. Like, I know you love this place. I know you're like, it's your favorite place, but you come every single time. You don't have another restaurant? And he said, well, the cool thing is, like, I come here all the time because one day I have, like, eggs and bacon and pancakes. The next day I have a burger here. Yeah. And then the next day I come here and I have, like, a big salad. And the next day I come and I have pasta. He's like, the cool thing is I can come here and I actually like all the different types of foods you have. And it kind of, like, tricks myself in thinking I'm at a different restaurant because you have so many different options. And that always stuck with me because, A, I was cooking the food and it was kind of interesting just to hear that. And it was just like, oh, wow, like, that's interesting. But I never thought of it that way. And this was like the same time where I was thinking of like owning a business. And a restaurant to me at the time when I was cooking was like, it made the most sense. Yeah. But I just never had like, oh, I want to open up like a coffee shop or open up a steakhouse or anything like that. Until he said that, where it was like, man, that would be a really cool idea if a restaurant, not that the menu, it's an always changing menu, but it's like every day is designed to a different, like one day is Italian, one day is Chinese, one day is Mexican. And you don't have like a crazy menu, but you have like certain items that everyone loves. And it can kind of speak to someone at that point where he came back to this restaurant every single day. And you're not going to have everybody just come back every single day. Mm-hmm. But for myself, I thought about it. If I might go to my favorite restaurant like one time a week. That's a lot if I actually do that.
What's your favorite restaurant?
If I had a favorite restaurant, which one do I go to a lot? Before keto or after keto?
Both.
Well, I'll be honest. With keto, the easiest one is Nacheria because I can just get like my steak and like my cheese and sour cream. So anything Mexican, to be honest, is like the easiest for me on keto. Before keto, favorite restaurant would have to be some type of Chinese restaurant. And it was Hot Wok, which is in Burlingame, actually, ironically. But it's down the street. It's actually really legit. But I would have that maybe once a week. Maybe. Yeah. That's a lot, actually. But like once a week seems about right. Whereas if they served, let's say, for example, Italian food on another day and they were actually legit, I might find myself going back there two times a week rather than just once a week. And it just depends on the menu and how you're like how many items you're going to have. And you don't have to have a crazy, crazy menu, in my opinion. It's just things that you know people would want. And then you can always play around with the menu. So that's kind of where the food truck idea kind of came from, because every day you kind of have to buy new food, or you have to, it just depends on what's like in season or whatnot. So it was one of those things that I thought being, or having a food truck might be a little bit easier just because of that. It might be an easier transition just because it, like I said, the you always have to supply your food for your truck. And then I would try to branch off into a restaurant. That was like my whole concept pretty much. But it all started from me like talking to that one customer, and it just kind of like hit like a light bulb in the sense of I have never thought of, I can't name a restaurant for the most part that changes constantly, especially like in like it's completely different, like you went from Italian to Chinese to Mexican and then they hit every single time. Kind of hard, but it is kind of like a thing where I'm like, if someone could nail that, you might see some of the same people every single time. And then with new people, it's like it's kind of hard to like, because they might not like one day, but then they love the other day. Yeah. Whereas if you have one restaurant that you're only serving Chinese food and they don't like Chinese food, they'll never go to your restaurant. Yeah. So that's just another kind of thought process I had behind it.
And then what happens if like Wednesdays is Chinese night and it's packed and then the other nights are slower? Then would you?
I think adjusting would be one of the things too. I think that's the cool thing about like not having a set menu would be is see what works, see what's not working, always bring something new into the mix. It's going to go back to like the job that I'm sure you guys are familiar with me at Basecamp. To be honest, when I first started, it was like the scheduling was just, it was always the same. And it was like every week was constantly the same thing. And then since I've been there now, it's like it's always changing all the time. Whether it's the same 30, it's still a 35-minute workout. You're still going to have the bike. You're still going to have the mat. it's just a new class. It still like makes the member or the person taking the class just psychologically think like, oh, this is something, and it is brand new. Like, don't get me wrong, like the workout is brand new, but yeah. It's just it makes it seem a little bit different, if that makes sense. Like
people like variety.
Yeah. And whether it's brand new or really not.
right.
So
just a difference.
What would you call it?
That's one thing I have never really, I think it would have to come to me.
Yeah.
I never really thought about that, to be honest.
You could make a sister restaurant to Dennis's clothing brand.
Crooks and Goons.
Call it Cooks and Spoons.
Nice. I like that a lot.
Genius.
Yeah. Like
website. Website.
Only take $100 bills.
$100 bills or stacks of cash or gold bullion. So yeah, this restaurant is going to be mostly keto based. Is that the concept?
No, actually not.
No, just like
were you here for the last 5 minutes? Or
I thought mixing what happened? Up variety.
Hey, we're doing a poll later. Did anyone else think that it was going to be a keto restaurant or?
I thought it was.
I did not think it was.
I might have a keto option.
Keto option.
Yeah, I might.
No, not when he was explaining it, but before when we started, I thought he was going to go with like a keto.
We all thought you were going to have a keto thing, but I think Dennis just was hearing what he wanted to hear. He was just hoping,
like, Chinese keto.
Oh, I don't have to think
Chinese,
anymore. I can go back on keto. I'll go to this restaurant every day.
Yeah, I first thought that it was going to be Chinese keto. Like,
he just
we're
said
find
he can't
a way
eat
to
Chinese food because it's keto, but I think I can go there on keto and have a whole bunch.
Yeah,
I think that's a small market, right? And if you went that route, you'd have to have
like keto.
And yeah, the keto market is.
Yeah,
is
you'd have to convert people because they came there.
Yeah,
and they wanted to convert.
See, yeah. I think you can have the option of having like a keto like little side, but
yeah,
I don't know if I'd actually do that because there's one out of 30 people are on keto.
Yeah,
but like I might have that option or available or something. But like I said, that goes with the menu always changing. So if I actually had lots of people saying, "Hey, like we need something keto," then that would be the beauty of actually changing your menu. So that's kind of like with my restaurants. I want a menu that's not ever set in stone. Whether it's the greatest thing ever, I still don't want it to be set in stone.
Yeah,
because it should always change. If that makes sense.
That's kind of. So I guess they have meal delivery services where you could pick something different every day.
Yeah.
But this would be more you're guiding them by saying, "Hey, this is what we have today."
Yeah.
So you don't have to, because if like it's kind of like you go, you say, you know, I'm going to get this. But you usually revert to what you usually get. At least I do.
Yeah.
Like, I'll try something new. Yeah. And then when they come over and ask for the order, it's like, I'll take that. It's like, fuck, same thing every time.
See, and that's another thing is I hate that. I was a guy taking orders too. I just started doing everything at that restaurant.
Yeah.
And I started waiting and it's the same. The people get the same exact thing. And it's fine because I have my favorite stuff too as well. But it's getting out of your comfort zone and just trying different things. And that's what I learned with food. Was there was plenty of foods I was like, I'm not touching that. Like sushi is the one thing I'm like, if it's dead, I don't want to put it in my but I've had plenty of people just start telling me do it, and I tried it, and it's actually really good. So that's like an example of like, you just never really know.
I think the thing I eat out a lot and I go to a couple restaurants where I always get the same thing, and I always get the same thing because like that's the, for me, I've had a lot of stuff on that menu.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing. And I haven't been there in a month maybe or 3 weeks. And I'm like, oh, that's the reason I went there, right? I went for that one thing. So I know a couple restaurants that do this sort of thing where it's just, there's one that's like, it's like a, I don't want to say hippie, but it's like a hippie restaurant, right? They have ingredients for the day.
Yeah.
And then they decide what the menu will be. And then you show up. And it's even crazier. You decide how much you'll pay for what they've made for you. So the menu is like what they're going to make, and then you decide what you're going to pay. And like part of the proceeds go to charity. That's how they get you to like not be the guy who's like, I'll pay nothing for this.
Yeah.
Right. But I always thought it was a good concept, and they always had something different. They always had it was always some kind of theme because the cook was a certain way, and a lot of people went there. It was just a lunch place. All it did was lunch. And so it was very specific to that. And it did very well. It was very small. So it was like a bunch of little small, you know, small place, small footprint in a low rent area. And so like I think they did it right. And I would almost venture to say that they probably got some of those ingredients donated, right? So that it even kept the cost down even more. The other one I know is there's it's like a cafeteria sort of place where there's a small set menu of things that you can always get, but every single day there's a revolving menu of like things that they're producing, but it's cafeteria style. So you walk in and you get the tray and then you can pick what you want. So that sort of makes sense, but it is a revolving menu every day. And it's like, They had two locations in Colorado, and they are super popular. And it's also mostly just lunch, surprisingly enough, now that I'm thinking about it. The cafeteria style, I guess, just works in that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think what Nick was getting to was, like, if you have a really killer Chinese night, it's going to be hard for any business owner to look at that and go, wait,
yeah,
Chinese killing it on Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
And burger night is awful.
Yeah.
We got to get rid of burger night.
It'd also be more important than the staff. Well, the staff will have to be super friendly, right? Because it's kind of the unknown.
Yeah.
People will basically come back for the staff and the food. So if it, you know, like, if you had, like, the, I don't know, the world's greatest chicken sandwich, people would put up with, like, they know exactly what they're getting. So if they get a moody cashier,
yeah, if they get a moody, gym fixing their chicken sandwich, they'll still come back.
A little more forgiving. Mexico gym. They're like, they know what they're getting.
Yeah, right.
So that would be crucial, is getting the staff to, I mean, sometimes it's hard enough to get the staff to explain what's on the menu when it's the same menu every day.
Yeah. So,
but I guess people would be excited about the process.
Yeah, and I think the one hit kind of thing could actually work too, because if you nailed it on one of these items and people are like, you know what, we loved it, we go back, and then they come back for another one. You have to, consistency is going to be your key, which isn't any business, right? But I think really just doing a couple of those nights really well, and maybe not being open Monday and Tuesday, so that you
see, that was another thing I was thinking.
Get it down to
maybe,
like,
not being open actually every single day.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, not on the, well, weekends might be popular, but it just depends on, like, what is doing well and what's not doing well.
Yeah.
But something where it was, I don't know, I just always kind of thought this would be something where it'd be kind of interesting. I've never ever heard of anything like this, if that made sense.
Yeah.
So what is your plan? Are you gonna do it?
Absolutely. Now, I, starting it is where the problem is. I don't know where would I go. I know money's capital is something you actually need to even start anything.
Yeah.
So that was one thing that I was obviously attacking right now. But outside of that, I mean, I'm learning a lot where I'm at right now inside of, like, business and learning how to manage. And there's certain things that I thought I was never actually learning until now. That's the reason why I'm actually still where I'm at right now.
What do you mean? You mean you didn't realize you were learning them until you realized you knew them?
Well, it was more like when I was at Sherry's, I just thought I was a good cook.
Mm.
No management skills, no looking at business skills, none of that. And then I transferred over to Basecamp, and then that's where I kind of picked up a lot of the, hey, management style, and started looking at a business a different way, and I started maturing a lot more. And it's now I'm starting to realize, okay, I can actually start doing this now. Because before, I thought it was going to be a longer process, something where I was like, hey, I'm going to do this. But I kind of, in the back of my mind, kind of thought, like, oh, yeah, I'll do it when I'm, like, a little bit older, settled, stuff like that. Now it's like, I can actually do this now. Like, I'm looking at a business right now grow, and I feel a big part of it. So, like, I should be able to do it myself. It's just, where do I begin, I guess, would be outside of the capital part. That's where I'm, like, the big question mark. Like, I don't, especially with a restaurant, because it's kind of hard. Like, do I get the food out first? Do I try to find a spot, or do I partner up with someone and try to do something, or do I do it on my own? These are the questions where I'm like, I don't, it's kind of new to me, and I'm like, I don't know that part of it.
It seems like building up an audience to test how deep your varieties go, right? So say you found out, like, oh, I'm really good at, like, I think I'm really good at these things, but what, maybe there's some weird thing, right? Like, you find out when I try to cook Italian food, people like it, but they've, in where I'm, you know, in this location, there's an Italian place that everyone loves. So I won't really be able to get into the Italian thing, or even if you just started to say, hey, I need volunteers. I need 20 people or 10 people. I'm going to cook for you 4 nights a week. I'll bring it to the gym. I'll just give it to you, and you eat it, you know, or whatever, and give me feedback. Rate them. Tell me which ones you like. You know, maybe it gets to 20, and then, and maybe through those people, you're like, hey, so I was thinking of getting a truck or catering, or I found a small spot, and I'm going to.
I like that idea a lot, to test the food, like being able to pick, you know, the small group of people that know you, like you, and you produce the food for them on a, you know, pick a number of days that you're pull it out, and then have your recipes and see what they think, and see if they can give you some feedback, and then you can say, okay, yeah, I know what I'm doing here, and that's a good way to get started.
I shouldn't give advice, because when we were starting Nacheria, we were working with people that were giving us advice, deferring a little too much. And so they're like, let's have an event. You invite a whole bunch of people from around here. You came over, right?
Yeah, I did.
And
I was there too. That was at your old house, right?
Yeah. We'll get feedback on the food. It's like, all right. But the food they made, so in your case it'll be different because you'll be cooking the food, but the food they made wasn't like, I just kind of left it all up to them. So it wasn't exactly, like you couldn't tell the difference between
the chicken nachos,
the steak nachos. It was like everything was just ground up really small. And then they were focusing all this time on, there was minimal toppings on them. And then they were spending all this time on these fancy margaritas, like these kind of like top shelf, let me make it this way. And I'm like, is this how we're going to make them at the restaurant? They're like, no. I'm like, what are we doing?
Good test.
So my wife actually freaked out after that, like that night.
Oh, she hated
it,
right?
This is terrible. The fucking food was terrible. It all tastes the fucking same. There's not enough stuff on it.
Yeah.
It's basically, can't tell. Like, she was all excited until that point. She's like, I don't think we should do this. I don't want to do this. I was like, shit.
It's anyways, scary. Yeah. I mean.
And I was more like, oh, it'll be fine. People see it. It was all right. People liked it. So they say they like it because you're at your fucking house. I'm like, it's fine. But mostly I realized in hindsight that was because I didn't want to deal with the possibility that the people who were cooking the food may not be the right people to cook the food.
Because
these were like consultants we were working with that were advising us. And so for me, it was like, well, shit. I probably wouldn't have done it if we didn't have someone that was going to help with the food side.
So how would you set that up to have a non-bias opinion? Like, you know, not having them at your house, or what would you recommend?
I don't know. That one was too late because it was already going to open. Right? Yeah. So it was just like, I don't even know what the point of it was. I would think, just maybe once a week, or hey, I'm going to make this big batch of this and I'm going to give it to 20 people. Or
yeah, I mean, I think to start, you should do it to people that you like, right? Yeah. Because hopefully they'll give you good feedback. And I think that if you get to a point where you're like, you really want to start testing, and then you don't have them to your house, because you're right, they will tell you, this was great, and then walk out and be like, this was awful, right?
Plus,
like,
you can start messing around. It'll be enough where you can start messing around with, how much does it cost? How much would you pay for this?
Right. How much did it cost you to put it together? Even at just buying from the grocery store, you'll be able to do better with someone come in and deliver that for you. You'll be able to do better, but it'll show you cost, how much time it takes.
Yeah.
And you know, what Nick and I have been talking about recently is that you'll be able to do it and then show it to somebody else will be key to your business, right? Like, if you can do what they can do, then like it'll be fantastic, and it'll also be yours. And then I think if you wanted to test it beyond that, you could easily put an ad in Craigslist and just be like, hey, I need 10 people that want to have a free food, right? And then you'll get some randoms, get some crazies.
Yeah.
And then you just do a little quick, survey that just says, this is what we think. So,
well, step one, you could give them here's what I'm going to give you. You guys are all getting Kung Pao chicken tonight, right? And then step two, you could list like 4 dishes. And you could tell the small group, here, tell me, order whatever you want. And so you get some data on that. And you'll also see if anyone reorders some, don't give them any rules, see if anyone gets something twice.
Yeah.
But it also depends on your, and then so in theory, if you did that slowly and surely, then for potential investors, you'd have all this data of like, listen, I've been doing this for 6 months. I started with, it was kind of like Basecamp in a way, right? I started off in the garage, asked a guy, Jeff, was like, I'll do this with you. Another guy's like, I'll do it with you. So then, and then Millar comes over, and Mark, it's still people I know. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like, I ran into Jesse and I was like, hey, Jesse, you should come try this and you should bring. And he's like, oh, I'll bring a couple of girls I'm training. So they were kind of like, the first ones were like, these guys probably wouldn't fucking tell me if they didn't like it. And they're not, you know, they'd probably just, it's fun goofing off. Like, do they want to come because we're like giving each other shit or because we're working out good?
Yeah.
And then Jesse comes and it's like, okay, well, Jesse's coming, but is he coming back because he thinks there's like a job opportunity here, or is he coming back because he likes it? And then he brings these girls that he's training and they keep coming back. So they were the ones where it was kind of like, huh, well, if they keep coming back, they would have no problem saying they don't want to come because like they have no connections, right? And then a couple other people would be like, oh, this person asked if they could come and they'd come. So then it felt like, all right, there's enough people here. And I remember having someone come take a look at it, and I was like, I'm thinking about opening a gym. And he's like, all these guys come 3 times a week. I'm like, yeah, it's been growing, you know, we get, you know, a couple people, add a couple people a week or a person a week. So that was good. But a lot of it's timeline too. Like if you said, hey, I want to do this in 30 days.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're like keeping one eye out for an ideal location. And then that'll depend on if you want everyone to be inside or if it's like to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it would have to be some, you would have to have an app. You don't want people to eat there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because otherwise you'd be kind of like in competition with the delivery services.
Yeah.
But that would be, I'm always in too much of a rush to test the, it was funny when we were sitting here talking about this, I was thinking about when we took the Surf Cat coffees when we were just making them in the warehouse.
Yeah.
And delivering them to people. And we're telling people, but like, so if we texted people and said, hey, anyone want a coffee? We'll bring them over in like an hour. Yeah, sure. We'll get some. But if we said, okay, hey, whenever you want, just go on the website and order one. We didn't get a whole lot of people that just went and ordered. But that also could be because in the beginning, a couple of them were like, hey, I tried to get in there and it wasn't working. Or, hey, I tried to get in there and it says you're not delivering right now. And it was like, ah. So.
We had some hiccups in that initial website.
Yeah, we didn't have the same. We didn't have a good lesson you could learn from us is have better, quality. Like, what is the test? What is the test, right? Like, so if we said, just order from us whenever, but then we were only, the website only said accepting orders maybe for an hour a week, then it wouldn't be surprising that we didn't get any orders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a better test probably would have been like between 5 and 8 every day, you can put in an order for the coffee for the next day or for later on. And so that everyone know, okay, hey, if I go between 5 and 8 every day, I can make the, especially maybe in your instance, I could go between these times every day. I could tell them I'm interested and I'm in, and then you've got 24 hours to be like, all right, now I got to get my shit together.
Yeah. Well, it's like at base camp in the beginning when I decided one day, like we should have protein coffee. So I don't know if you were there then. So we made up this thing called 5 Mile Coffee, made cups. Like, all that part was the fun part. Didn't spend a whole lot of time on the coffee.
Yeah.
Just figured, well, what do you mean? We just mix fucking protein powder with coffee.
That's fine. That sounds delicious.
So the first day we did it, we got, like, a big, what I can't remember what the thing's called, but it's a percolator.
Yeah.
Got a big percolator. So the whole gym smells like coffee, one, which is not, which is, could be good or bad. And then, two, we got a tub of protein powder. I think we just got, like, the Isopure chocolate. Right, we figured, oh, it probably tastes like a mocha.
Yeah.
And so I still remember the first person to order it was Jean. And she was like, yeah, I'll try it. Like, not order it, but she said she'd try it. Because we're like, let's give out samples. And then we'll start selling it next week. Like, all right. So we literally hadn't made one yet. So I remember I got, I filled her cup with coffee. I dumped the fucking protein in. I stirred it. Stirred it as good as I could. Put the lid on. Gave it to her. And it was a little hot. So she's like, it's a little hot. She was talking. And then she starts drinking it, and as we're talking, you can tell she's trying really hard to be polite, but she's chewing on something because it was just clumping, right? And it's all floating to the top. So every time she takes a sip, it's just clumps of protein powder with a little bit of coffee going in her mouth. So she's talking and she's chewing, and it's like so uncomfortable because you're like, you don't have to drink that. And she's like, okay. And eventually we realized, okay, if we put a little bit of hot water, and then we put the protein powder in it, and like, whatever, it's melted or dissolve it.
Yeah.
Then pour the coffee on top. Then it actually tasted pretty good. But, so then we had it, but like there just wasn't, there were some people would be like, like if we said, hey, who wants a protein coffee? We'll have it waiting for you after class. Some people would be like, sure.
Yeah.
But if we said, hey, you only want to buy one, it was like crickets. So I think the problem was we never actually tested, does anyone want protein coffee?
Yeah, hot coffee after that workout sounds like the last thing I would want. Like for an hour afterwards, maybe I might think about
it. Yeah, so it was it was funny. It didn't work out ideally.
Yeah.
But then again, the most important thing, I was just all fired up on the cups and the logo and the wrong things.
Yeah.
But well, those things are important. You just you needed to work in also the taste of the coffee, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the packaging is important, right? I think like we just changed up. They just did boxes. Julio and Nick designed boxes for Nacheria, and I remember seeing them. I was like, and then I was like, you know what? I think this is really good. And now whenever I see them walking around, I'm like, that's just a walking billboard for the restaurant.
I think
like,
those are really good.
I love it when I see someone walking.
It just
the
I'm just like, wow, someone's seeing that box and going, hey. Where'd they get that box? What is that? I want what's in there, right?
So. Now, slightly a pain in the ass for the cooks because they don't have a whole. They when they're open, they take up a lot of room.
Right. Yeah. On the production side, it was a little bit of a rough.
Yeah, it wasn't well received at first.
But I think we're almost over that hump.
Well, the first time I got one, I was like, "You sure?" this is kind of a nice box. I know I work at Basecamp, but it's okay. Say, no, we give these out to everyone. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool.
The yeah, but I would say you keep mentioning it to people. The more you mention it to people, the more people will be like, oh, really? What's your, like, I'll take, let me try it. And then the more, you never know, you'll find someone that's like, yeah, I'll get behind this. I can help you out. Like, how do you want me to? Because, you know, even Zappos was like friends and friends of friends given anywhere from $2,500 to $10,000. I just got $150,000 like that. And so it wasn't like one person that I found. It was kind of like, you know, there's a lot of people. So you could say, oh, well, that's because a lot of people were like, oh, I want to invest in a tech company and anything's possible. But there's also a lot of people that want to own a restaurant or, you know, invest in a business or invest in someone they like. So this is interesting to me. So the challenge of telling everyone is that you have a job, right? So what happened, like, how do you deal with that? Like, do you ever think to yourself, well, if I go to Basecamp every day and I tell my boss and anyone else that I really want to open this restaurant, there, I would assume there's a point where you're like, well, shit, I'm 90% sure I want to open this, or I want to open this restaurant, but I don't know when. And I want to mention this because I want to get people's advice and I want to hear their opinions. But I also want to be considered for growth opportunities within Basecamp. Like, have you gone through that conversation in your head?
Yeah. And I think
yes.
Well, I've always wanted to be my own boss. At the end of the, no matter what I do in my life, I've always kind of had that dream of like, hey, I want to own my own, like, whatever it is. And like right now it's a restaurant. It may change, but like right now it's a restaurant. And like, I've wanted to be a firefighter. I went to school to be a firefighter. I need to finish up. That's something else that I thought about doing as well. But it was, to do that was just to get money to get my restaurant. It wasn't to become a firefighter until I retired and lived happily ever after. It was to get money to open a restaurant. So same thing with Basecamp, where it was, when I first started, to be honest, Jake gave me, or he was like, hey, there's an opening, get hired. I got hired. I was like, oh, this is an easy job. Cool. Relaxed. Nothing. Oh. And then it started picking up and I started learning a lot of things. And to be honest, that's one of the reasons why, like I said, I didn't leave. It was just like, man, I'm picking up a lot of like things that I would have never really picked up anywhere else. So it's, and I don't really have that conversation with anyone else, but myself, it's more of like, I can't really feel bad that I'm like what I'm doing right now. I'm still, like, it's just, I'm learning. And then one day if I have enough to go do on my own, like everything I've learned from Basecamp, I would actually appreciate, but it would be like, hey, I need to go do this on my own. And like, it's just something that I've always kind of like thought about. Now, tough.
I don't think you should feel bad. I was just more thinking like, how are you like, because so for a good example. So Jose, who's the manager at Nacheria, when he worked at Nacheria, and then he said, even when he was first, he was playing for the Dragons, and then he was working at Nacheria, and he's like, hey, you know, I got my degree in restaurant hospitality management. Like, if there's extra stuff, extra responsibility I could take on, or extra stuff at the restaurant, like, I'd really like to do more and learn more. And it was like, oh, cool. Like, that's, you know, that'd be sweet. Like, he's interested in this subject. He's, you know, hardworking and he's eager to learn more. But then, like, you know, a couple hours later, you'd be talking to him and he'd be like, yeah, so it's pretty cool. Like, I got a tryout with a team in Korea. I think I'm going to go to Korea in like a couple months. And I think I might be able to play for a professional team in Korea. And it was like, oh, that's awesome. What the fuck? Like, so I was like, hey, that's awesome. But like, I'm happy to hear that. And I want everyone to pursue it. And I want you to be honest. But like, but at the same time, I can't give you more responsibility now because there's no point in training you because you're going to leave to go to Korea, hopefully. He's like, oh, but he got it, right?
Yeah.
But then he went to Korea and he played and then he came back. And then when he found out he was back, like, then reached out to him, was like, hey, do you want to, you said you were interested before. Is there something else you want to do? But I always think it's interesting because, like, when I was at AutoWeb, when I was at AutoWeb, I wanted to do my own thing, and I was like, I'm just learning here, and like, this is the first time I've been excited by seeing another business, like, anything's possible. But I would talk about it like quietly with people, other people who had the same thought. But then I never mentioned it to like my boss or anyone until I left. But then I realized he was super supportive and probably would have been supportive the whole time. Probably would have been like, hey, as long as you get your shit done and you're excited, it actually, in a way, probably would have thought, like, oh, you're more ambitious. This could be a good thing. And then I was at, but then when I was trying to start Zappos, I was at Silicon Graphics. And that was more, I was literally had like one side of my desk was ShoeSite.com, like raising the money and putting the whole plan together. And the other side was my job there. And that one, when I left, my boss was more like, you do know that we pretty much funded getting ShoeSite started, right? And we're aware of this. But that was just a big
So that's what Basecamp's doing right now? Or
Basecamp right now is, yes.
It's funding you.
It's ready.
Let's try it.
There'll be a Basecamp mafia one day. But it happens everywhere. I think that's the only thing that's different now is that it's normal for people to have multiple interests and like want to do multiple things and talk about it out loud.
Yeah.
It's just I was more just asking specifically in a, like, I was curious from a, like, I think different managers would hold it against their staff different ways, right? Some would be like, oh, then you're clearly not committed. Some would be like, oh, you're ambitious. This could be good. If I can just take that ambition and show you why staying here is better than going to start your own thing, this could be good.
Yeah.
And see, I think that was a lot with me as well, because my past manager, Jason, he was kind of big on that, where he was like, he told me in the beginning, I shouldn't hire you because of your resume at all, but I like you and I think you're going to grow a lot.
Yeah.
And from there, it was just like I kept growing. And I was like, as long as like I keep growing and I have opportunity at least to grow, like I don't see myself really leaving anywhere. I don't really see myself doing anything else right now. Like I'm fine where I'm at. And like I said, I will love to continue doing that as well. But to be honest, if like I'm still here 20 years from now and it's a great thing, then like I might have my restaurant with it as well, if that makes sense. Like, and it's not that I have to leave this. It's just like the restaurant is definitely going to come along one day with me.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm not a big future guy. I'm like, I mean, I like to like plan in the future, but it's more like I kind of have to look at what I'm doing right now too. And then kind of go from there, where it's like, that's part of it, where it's like right now, Basecamp's like teaching me everything I can do. There's really nothing else I can be doing right now. So I should be doing that.
Yeah.
And then it's just going to help me for my future with my restaurant, pretty much.
So besides raising capital, what are there, have you figured out like where you would like to open the restaurant? Or?
Well, I would like to have it kind of next to wherever I'm living. I always wanted to stay in California, so I know I'd want it somewhere in California where I'm at home. It doesn't have to be real. There's not like a certain area. It's not like Burlingame or San Mateo. I'm very open to be honest, I want to live like in Sacramento because I want more land than like a house. Yeah. I want to have like,
you don't want a studio for the rest of your life here?
I want to have like a house and just like farm and all that kind of like good stuff. So it's like, if it's closer out, I actually would want it like in the city. I wouldn't want it like far. I'd want people to actually access it, if that makes sense. So I wouldn't mind being a few hours away.
Yeah.
But I would want it like a little close by. I don't want it like in a different state or anything like that. But it's not like I actually have like my hometown has to have like the restaurant. That'd be cool, but
yeah.
I'm kind of open to anything.
The cool thing now is anything's possible. So there's like, there's so much information out there and there's so many tools that like, I don't know, as I'm sitting here listening, I'm thinking, man, this is like, it's cool that people can think of businesses, be working and still have like a plan and a goal that's like attainable, right? Because it wasn't like that like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was because a lot of it was based on, I think, where things are shifting. It used to be time based, like, hey, you will be here from this time to this time. And now it's shifting more to like, hey, you get your stuff done.
Yeah.
And that might take you X amount of time, but it doesn't matter as much what time you get that done in. Right. So in theory, you could like, you could have a job and you could say, hey, I'll work at, I'll come in at 4 a.m. and I'll stay till 4 p.m. and then I'll open my restaurant.
Yeah.
For dinner from 5 p.m. to, well, you'd have to prep and all that, but
yeah,
you know, I think nowadays it's more, I mean, I'm just restating the obvious here, but it's definitely a fun time. Like I'm still young, but I wish I was younger, you know, cause there's like so much,
there's so much to do.
There's so much shit to do.
Yeah.
And so many things that are going to be possible.
So is there any advice you would give Damien? Like,
well, I think the advice would be, I mean, so it's an interesting thing because you can control it. So if you can cook it, then you don't have to go find a cook, convince someone else to do. You could, in theory, could do everything yourself.
Yeah.
So I would just be talking about it, because the more you talk about it, the more random conversations. Who knows what happens? Or especially around here, there's so many people that might be like, I've always wanted to open a restaurant. How about this? I'll, you know, I'll partner with you. I'll fund it. And you do the XYZ and blah, blah, blah. I think even within Basecamp, that's probably attainable.
Yeah.
And then I would probably, I would just, you know, just be testing it. Like, testing, not, it's not like we're saying, oh, test it, see if anyone likes the food. It's more just like testing, like, say you said, oh, I want to have 4 dishes every night. And you got 10 fucking Chinese dishes that you want to cook. Then I would be like, well, here, let me get testers. Here's my 10. Which are the 4 you guys like? And then, all right, I'll just keep making these 4 better.
Questions for us?
Mostly like Nick. Yeah. Mostly,
yeah.
Outside of talking, what kind of advertisement would you do? Outside of like just word of mouth.
You mean if for when the restaurant starts or for the get the testers?
Yeah.
Which one?
You
answered that in a very Dennis way. A yes. Or B? Yes.
Yeah. I would say the first one where it's actually both. Why not both?
Once it's starting?
Yeah.
So we were talking about this the other day. What I'm hoping as we get more into restaurants versus and away from like apparel and stuff like that is we like paid advertising. If you figure we never quite figured out like the secret sauce to it, right? So I always thought, well, with t-shirts, people wear them, so if someone likes it, we should get a whole bunch of word of mouth.
Yeah,
but that seemed hard. What I noticed what was interesting with the restaurant was and also with Basecamp too, at least in Burlingame, right? We didn't really do much advertising. So the only thing I could figure out from that was if you create a place where people come in and it's a good experience and they eat or work out or something that they're going to do over and over.
Yeah.
And you can provide something different than anyone else. Then you could have word of mouth just be the advertising. Right? With Dunk Contest, we realized that word of mouth wasn't going to work on its own. We needed the Warriors to get the word out.
Yeah, it's really hard. People don't like to, even if you're wearing a really cool t-shirt, the likelihood of someone coming up to you and saying, hey, that's a really cool t-shirt, where'd you get it, is really low because people don't like to talk to each other, right? But you talk to someone about a restaurant, they're like, dude, I ate to this place last night. It was so good. You have to go there. You have to go there.
So that seems to be what, I mean, Nacheria's, I can't figure out what it is, right? So the lesson with Nacheria was basically, it's always been about the same busyness since it opened. It's just the first year and a half, it was losing a lot of money because we were spending way too much on food and way too much on staff. Like, we had way too many people working and working too many hours. And even so, that was out of control. And the food costs were out of control. So it seemed like a year and a half in, you would ask me about Nacheria. I'd be like, I just want to get through this fucking lease, you know? I want to get through this lease. I don't want to give up. And what's funny is I probably would have given up, maybe. But the reason I, because we had there was a point where someone said, hey, there's people poking around that said they'd be interested, because we basically took a space, right? We built a patio and it looked different. It seemed like a more appealing location, I think, than it did before.
Yeah.
Like there's a couple people that would probably buy the restaurant. He's like, I don't know how it's going for you, but if you wanted to, you could probably get out of it because it's a great location and now with the patio. There's a chance that I would have said, fuck it. Yeah, because I felt like this doesn't make sense to me. Like how we're doing well revenue-wise and losing so much money. But I didn't, because it's more like I would say to my wife, like, oh, you know, she'd be like, wait, why would you ever want to sell Nacheria? Like, no, you know, because she spent a lot of time helping decorate it and get it, you know, and food suggestions, and kind of was like, at the same time, she was the one noticing all the things that I was noticing, but I didn't want to deal with, like, the fuck is going on? The food's different every time. Or this is gross. I don't want to eat this. Or, hey, why is this? Why is that, Ram? But then, so then I would realize, like, oh, it wasn't. So the sales are about the same, but then all of a sudden it was like, oh, when you got someone in, who, we could start figuring out, like, well, it was get someone in and also stop waiting for someone else that had this secret formula. And just realize, okay, it seems like common sense, and it is common sense. Then all of a sudden, the food costs made sense, and the labor costs made sense, and all of a sudden, we weren't selling any more than we used to, but we were making money.
Yeah.
Instead of losing a bunch of money, so then it seemed more exciting. I can't actually remember the original question.
It was about marketing.
About marketing, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was interesting because we haven't really done much marketing. The only marketing we've ever really done, we get the little digital billboard every once in a while, but that's That's more like they email us and they say, hey, we've got a last minute opening. You can, you know, you want it for a week or you want it for 2 weeks. It's relatively, it's like $1,000 a week or something. And then, and we've probably done it for 8 weeks total over the last year or something.
It's hard. It's hard to get a return on investment on that. You can't tell. Some people have come in and said they've seen the billboard. That's brought customers, but it was looking at how much you're spending on how much you're actually bringing in. We've done some direct mailers that had codes on them that
no one really brought back.
Yeah, I mean, we had probably, we sent 5,000, we got 50 back. So and it's so hard because the price point's so low that that return customer is going to have to come 100 more times for that to get back. Yeah. I think what we do well and what works for us is we now have a big list, a big email list that's tied into our POS system, and we just send out about once a week what's going on. We have this new item, we're featuring this, we're giving away a free margarita, we're doing this, and that just brings people back in.
Yeah.
And it reminds them that they haven't been in a while or that they should come back or they should bring the family. I think that works really good, but that's not costing, that's costing us very little to do.
Yeah. Now, to your point, where did I look at this on my phone? It's not on right here. But the majority of, so I think our sales are the same, but in the beginning it was a lot of people, because, a new restaurant, let's go try it, right? And there are a lot of people going, it's okay, it's not great. And they probably never came back. And then, but we didn't have to do a ton of marketing then because people had seen it getting built. They were waiting for it and they just figured, let's try it. And then I think what happened was once we started to figure things out, we redid a lot of the food items, same menu, but we just made the ingredients better, right? Like made the chicken better and made the carnitas better and stuff like that. Then I think now we have the same sales volume, but it's a lot of people, the repeat customer rate is much higher. So maybe we don't get as many new people trying it, but there's a much better chance that they're going to come back.
Yeah.
So then it slowly builds off of that. And the sales are a little bit higher. It's just not like sales have doubled since we opened. It's like they were always really good. Well, that's not true. I guess they've risen about 50% since we opened. But they were always good. We should have been making money since day one if we had our shit together. Then we would have been profitable for 3 years instead of a year.
It's not an easy business. The restaurant business is one of the hardest businesses to pull off.
That was my second question.
Yeah.
Is it really that hard? Because that's what
it's not I hard like hearing. It's not hard like it's not like you have to sit down and like think of like some crazy formula.
Yeah.
It's just hard like the difficulty is in like doing these simple things every day properly, right?
It's a 365 day business. You can't afford to be closed, right?
And if something goes wrong, it's like there's nowhere to stop it, right? Like without like stopping it. So if we say we have times when, say, someone doesn't show up, well then it's like shit, now you're scrambling. You could get through it, but then you know people aren't having maybe as good an experience because you're scrambling. Or if you run out of something, and it's like, especially if you're like, we've run out of cheese before. Well, we didn't run out of cheese. We ran out of the ingredient that makes the cheese sauce good. Right? Without it, it's kind of watery. And it's like, what? So like, how can you be a fucking nacho restaurant that can't serve its best cheese?
Yeah, also can sell through stuff pretty quickly too. So you've got the ordering process is like it's a fine tuned machine. You know, having someone who gets that and understands it, knows how much the volume is going to be and stuff like that, it's tough.
It's not like we run out of cheese and then we're like, hey, let's cancel the 12:00. And this is an ingredient that you just can't go to the store and buy. So it's like, because a lot of times we run out of stuff and just like run to the store and get some. That's when you couldn't. But it's not like you can say, hey, let's cancel the 12:00 lunch, because there's no reservations anyway. But like, it's just people just keep trickling in, trickling in. So that's the only hard part. It's like a faucet you can't turn off, which is a good thing. I mean, I guess if it was empty, it'd be the opposite.
What do you think the hardest part of the restaurant business is? Do you think it's staffing? It's maintaining the food quality?
I think it's staffing.
Staffing?
I think it's staffing, and I think it's like that balance of like expecting everyone to like be so happy they're there and make everyone feel happy they're there and care that they're there, with also recognizing like some of them are interested in a career in the restaurant. Some of them are having a good day and just happy to be there. Mm-hmm. And some of them, it's like, don't really give a shit. You know, just, it's just a job. I mean, I remember I had jobs where I was like, yeah, I tried my hardest, but it's like, it's not as important to me as the manager. They don't know. I'm just like, whatever. So the, but then sometimes when I think that, and then you'll go work a shift and you'll be like, dude, these guys are fucking working their asses off. And I can be like, oh, hey, I just worked a shift. Like, see, I'm down to do whatever.
Yeah.
But then I can stop. Whereas there, now I'll do another one. Now I'll do another one. Oh, no, I'll get up tomorrow and I'll do it again. So that's, I think because it's the same every day, it's hard to create that atmosphere where the people are, and a lot of it comes down to the manager and the staff. Like, if they enjoy being around each other, then it's fun.
Yeah.
But, like, I was kind of amazed. Like, we were there last night for speed quarters, and then went in there this morning, and it's the same fucking people there, and still have a smile on their face, and they're like, hey, what's up? I'm like, shit, you guys sleep here? So, I think it's the staff. It's the hardest part. It's like, and it's also that fine, what I've realized is hard with Basecamp and Nacheria is that fine line of like sharing enough information with everyone so that they feel like they're getting, you know, they're important and like they know what's going on. And it's not like, oh, I don't know, these guys are working on some random thing. I don't even know what it is. And obviously they don't care to tell me or ask me. Combined with some people don't want to hear about it because they just want to lock in on what they're doing. And finding out more than they wanted to know is like stressful to them, and they're like, "Dude, I don't want to know this." Like, I think at even at Basecamp, right? We're going through the process with investors, whatever. And I was like, we told all the managers, "Hey, we want to meet with everyone. We want to meet with the managers, system managers, and the program managers, and all that. I want to give an update." And it kind of became clear after a couple of meetings that like, this was stressing people out more than helping them. Like they just like, look, I've got my task. I know exactly what I'm working on. I know exactly what I'm being judged on. I don't know. You could just tell in the meeting. Like, I don't really want to hear about this. So it was like, okay, reverted back.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And it was more that was what the managers and Nick and everyone have been telling me is like, you're just gonna fucking disrupt everything. If you try to keep everyone up to date, you're just gonna confuse everyone.
Yeah.
And I thought of it as like, no, you guys just don't want everyone to know, like, or you want to be the one that tells them. And then we sat in that first meeting and I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, they were right.
They don't want to know. Or people want to know, but they don't, it stresses them out. There's nothing, they can't control anything about it. Some of them may not even understand completely what we're explaining. And so it's just this random too much information thing.
Yeah.
So it's the same at Nacheria, right? So we start telling them, hey, we're going to do this thing. We're going to open another restaurant called Triple X Chicken. And they're like, and we thought it would be seen as a good thing. Like, hey, but it's not going to be like, you guys are just Nacheria. You guys are going to be able to do Triple X Chicken as well. And it just got them so stressed. Like some people liked it, but majority of them just got so stressed out because it was just confusing to them. Like, wait, what? I have to do extra stuff.
Yeah, they're like, you're going to double our workload?
I have to do extra stuff now? It's like, wait, now I go, the way my brain works was I was thinking you guys would be like, oh, well, shit, if there's going to be something else, I want to have first opportunity at like, taking on that responsibility as well. But it was the opposite. It got people all like, can you just stop talking about chicken? Let me focus on my job at Nacheria. It's like, okay.
So you find that that's a common theme, is that people just want to focus on one item and just become really good at it?
Well, not all. So I think everyone's different.
Yeah.
But there's some people, like say, so if you said like, hey, I'm interested in learning. I want to open up my own business, or I want to own my own business. Then I would think, oh, okay, so Damien would be more interested to hear about some of these other things. But someone else said, oh, I'm really happy with my job. I'm really happy right now. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. And no, I'm pumped. Like, then you kind of like, by what we learned in that meeting was by telling them, it almost like unsettles them more than anything else. But the problem is, you don't really know what everyone's thinking until you start talking to them. And so for me with Basecamp, because I'm not involved like really operationally, it's more stressful for people when I come in there and they're like, what's going on? And so it's hard to know. So I think there's a combination of people that want to know, and there's a combination of people that would rather just, hey, I'd like to focus on the things I can control, and anything I can't control, I trust that you guys will do whatever it is you got to do.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well,
what do you think? You're not getting out of here without your answer. What do you think?
Well, think about what? I don't know. About restaurant business. What are you talking about?
See what we deal with, Damien? Like, Dennis is not even here.
What? I was thinking about something.
You have to be the only D in the room, or you just give up. That's it. You're out. Checked out.
Dennis is like,
what do you want me to say, Damien?
I'll say it. Whatever you want me to say.
Stop pressuring Dennis.
It sounds like you're convincing Damien not to do the restaurant business.
I did.
I don't know.
No, absolutely not.
No? Okay, good.
No, I think you should do it. The biggest thing you should test is how many people will want a different thing every day. And like how will that affect, like, your challenge is going to be everyone agrees they want different things. No one wants to eat the same thing every day.
Yeah.
But your challenge will be how are you going to create the atmosphere that'll get the loyalty from the customers to go to you for each kind of food versus going to their favorite place for each of those kind of foods?
Yeah.
Because if they go to you for Italian once a week, but they love, you know, some other Italian place, then now they're going to have to eat Italian twice a week.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so that would be the...
I agree.
I concur.
I concur.
You on board with this one?
Dennis is like, I'm paying attention.
I'm paying attention. I swear.
Jesus. There was no sighing this round,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks for...
Will you keep us updated?
Thanks for coming on.
No, absolutely. All no, right. Thanks for having me. This is good. This has been fun.
Good.
All right.
I want a name.
For what?
For the restaurant.
That URL.
I'll start thinking.
The domain was available.
Cooks and Spoons?
Cooks and Spoons was available.
Cooks and Spoons is good.
I like that one.
Cooks and Spoons. I don't think without the context of Crooks and Goons, I don't think Cooks and Spoons.
it only works for us.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Damien. No,
thank you, guys.
I think Dennis was a little crushed that it wasn't a keto restaurant.
I was sold it was a keto restaurant.
You guys both were absolutely convinced.
We had put money on it.
We had bet. You know.
Yeah.
Both lost. I still think I think it's a good idea. I think it's gonna take, a lot of work, and I think it's the kind of, I know we had talked about it a little bit with him, but I think it's gonna take his personality, and it's gonna take some good food and good atmosphere to really pull something like that off. There's a reason that people, you allude to it a little bit. There's a reason that people that they have a favorite place and they like the menu and they keep coming back for those key things that are on the menu. So. To change it up every day, it's
a risk.
It's tough, but I don't think it's undoable.
No, I mean, I think he's got a good personality. He knows how to cook. So he tells us. We haven't tried anything.
We're hoping.
That was the most disappointing part. Was he didn't invite us to be like, hey, you guys want to be the first test group?
We just
walked out of here,
man.
Yeah, I really thought maybe he's like bringing us some food, right?
Like, my food's delicious. Peace.
Yeah. we don't get to try. His concept's gonna be him. He's gonna have to be the star of the show where people are like, I'm gonna come here because Damien's. Great cook, creates great atmosphere. But I have a feeling all stages of ideas are interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling his idea is going to continue to evolve, and by the time he opens his restaurant, it'll, you know, who knows, it could be different. I think that's what's exciting about ideas. Like, you don't have to commit to it. You just have an idea, and it just keeps changing and evolving and evolving, and at some point, something happens where all the I'll do it one days become I'll do it today.
Right. Isn't that what happened in Nocheria? I mean, you had that idea a while back.
Yeah. So for us, the kick over the edge was...
that sounds positive. Yeah.
Yeah, the kick over the edge was...
The hammer over the face.
There was a restaurant in Burlingame, Ola, that we used to go to a couple nights a week, and it closed.
All the time? Ola all the time.
Wait, was that...
Remember Ola?
Yeah, I
remember.
Ola all the time.
It wasn't called all the time, was it?
No, but that was.
I was just trying to be punny.
Oh, got it.
Damn it. I got it, Julio. So,
wait, was this on Burlingame Avenue?
Where Sixto's is now, but it used to be Ola.
Oh, okay. Right.
And then we'd go there a couple nights a week, and then it closed. And then, you know, obviously had the idea for a long time, and then all of a sudden it was like, well, we need a place to go eat Mexican food.
Yeah.
Can't be the only ones. So I think his, and it could go so many different ways, right? He could say, no, you know what? I mean, evolve and like I make this one thing really good and open a restaurant like that. It could be does a whole bunch of research and testing and realizes no, my original concept is the best idea. Yeah. Or it could be some hybrid where he figures out I'm really good at making this one item. Why don't I just have that item come in a different flavor every day or whatever?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I just think it's fun. I just think it's fun watching someone.
It's like the beginning of the beginning Zappos for you.
Anything's possible. Yeah. And so
just driven and hungry.
That was cool.
Speaking of hungry.
Yeah.
Good job. Good job on those cookies.
Yeah. Yeah, no, speaking of hungry, Damien, I'd like to be in that first test group. So
Yes, please.
Please send me a text.
I have a feeling Chinese food will be first.
You're right. Well,
because he'll probably want to make something.
Although he said Italian a lot.
Yeah, he did say.
He's basically, you know, I think it might just be the keto diet because he's just fiending. Hungry. He's fiending for
I just want to cook carbs and all that.
That's he how can't I get eat my the Chinese food. He can't eat the Italian food.
How do you taste it if you're on keto?
Well, I mean, you can
That's what we do.
Right, yeah, that's a good idea.
For a while, I was like not eating. I was not going to eat red meat. And then for a while, I was going to eat any meat. And so they were switching up the meat on the carne asada. And I remember my wife, like, how's the new carne? I don't know. I didn't try it. What do you mean you didn't try it? Well, I'm not eating meat. Well, it's not a fucking health issue or religious issue. Like, take a bite of the fucking carne asada so you can know if it tastes good. I'm like, no, I don't. Hey, it's a slippery slope. If I take a bite of the carne asada, the next thing I'm going to be
then I get kicked over the edge
for dinner, and it's going to be
I'm going to be eating a dog on the sidewalk.
Yeah. I'm strung out on McDonald's, and I don't know my first name.
It was that little nibble that did it. What'd you do today? Anything fun today, Dennis?
Went to my niece's birthday party at I think it's Lemo's Farms over in Half Moon Bay.
Any theme? Anything?
Ponies.
Tell me you rode that pony, Dennis.
I didn't ride that pony.
Ponies.
Yeah.
Sebastian. So what'd you do the whole time?
Watched my niece ride a pony. Went on a haystack ride, which, you know, I was like, oh, that should be fun. But then realized, you go in a circle. You sit on hay. That's all you do.
But you know what? I think, and they have a little train there, right?
Yeah, they have a train there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I went on the train ride.
Yeah, we were going to go, and I was like, it's going to be the hay ride, just on a train. I don't know. So, yeah. I mean, it's not built for me, but
no. I picture you and Christina like sneaking off and like smoking cigarettes, like
on
the roof of the barn around the corner or something.
Yeah, smoking cigarettes in the boys' bathroom. Yeah, no.
This is lame anyway.
This is so uncool. No, it was good. It was good. Nice weather. Hung out with the folks. Yeah. So
you weren't hungover from speed quarters?
I felt a little bit wacky this morning.
Speed quarters last night was fun.
That was fun. That was a good time.
Should we say who won?
Yeah, good turnout. A bunch of
Mr. Tommy Thompson.
San Jose Earthquakes. Came in and just took care of everyone.
Yeah, he was a real low key. He came in, he's just like, you know, I'm happy to be here, happy to play, and then he just dominated.
And once the whistle blew, he just turned into a competitor.
He entered that afternoon. He texted through a friend and
said, never played.
Tommy's injured. He can't play. You know, he didn't travel with the team to play. Like, he thinks he can win your speed quarters tournament. It's like, all right.
He came in with that attitude.
Bring it on.
Came in and he won the friggin' tournament.
That was good. It was good. We'll be able to watch.
What was cool about that, too, was there was a group of women that were on the corner. They weren't playing at all. I think they had just come in to eat.
They did.
And they stuck around for the whole thing. And they were having a blast the entire time.
Nice.
Yeah. I went and talked to them right beforehand. And I was like, listen, ladies, you know, like, we're moving everyone away. I was like, I'm not kicking you out. I've got a table for you over here. And they're like, we are so excited to see what's going to happen. We can't wait.
And they stuck around the whole thing.
They've been posting on social media. They want to know when the next one is. They want to come back so they can play this tennis.
Now, when is the next one?
I don't know. There's a strong sentiment. I don't know what the fuck the word. Strong. People want it in San Jose. We might have to go to San Jose for the next one.
That'd be fun.
The defending champion is now a San Jose Earthquake. Getting texts from people saying, "Can we do one in San Jose?"
Well, let's do one in San Jose. That'd be fun.
So, might there was discussions of a possible location today.
What were you thinking? No, are you not allowed to disclose?
No, Wins mentioned some place. His buddy owns a place in San Jose somewhere.
Britannia Arms.
Wait, are we talking the Matrix?
that would be epic.
You know what I thought today we should do is we should go to a sporting event and just set up in the parking lot with a big tent. We can hang all the lights and cameras.
I was walking through Berkeley to pick up dinner for my girlfriend, and I was thinking that it would be great during college football season, because you have that natural sort of rivalry between the local colleges and whatnot that would play football. So that would be, if we can arrange something along that lines, that would be sick.
Yeah,
because you get people enthusiastic about competing against one another.
That'd be fun. Get the Wind Club Wales van.
Oh, we did have the Wing Club Whales. Shirts were cool, but the hats were spectacular.
Oh, they were the hats.
Yeah.
Someone said we're getting hats. I'm like, what are you talking about? We're getting hats. How are we getting hats? Those were awesome.
So you pulled it off. You pulled it off with the same transfer that we used.
Yeah. I mean, it's that the same company really cool. that makes the transfer.
What hat are you wearing?
I'm wearing the like a blue back
it's
one.
Just a, yeah. It's just a blank.
Nothing on it.
Nothing on it. But it fit really well on. I told him that next time he goes down to Puerto Vallarta, that he has to wear the hat.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, the Hearts one came out really good too. Yeah, those transfers were great. It's an art to get it on. The shirts are easy to do the transfers on, but the hats are a little tougher.
That would be sick to walk into that casino and then see how long it takes one of the employees to recognize the logo on the hat and be like, "We don't make those."
Dude, did you get that?
Walk in with a Wing Club Whales hat and shirt and just walk into the cage. I'm here to collect.
Start taking pictures of the cage again.
Next time.
All right, well, thanks for listening. We got a good episode queued up for next week now. But Julio spent a lot of time.
Oh, yeah.
Full disclosure, it was more like 1% or 2% of my time, so I still got full disclosure. Got like another, you know, couple percent.
You got like 4 or 5% to give. All right, good.
Nice. Awesome. Well, if you like what you hear, follow us on Instagram, at the Startup Addict, Twitter, startup_addict, and you could go to our website, thestartupaddict.com. YouTube, any news?
Get closer.
We're still on there.
We're still on there. Yeah. Videos haven't been haven't been removed.
No, we haven't.
Perfect. If you want to check out Speakquarters, go to speakquarters.com. Yes. You can be in the next one.
Oh, it was so much fun. My liver thanks Nick for that event. All right. Go home. Go to bed.